want to talk with you this morning about plowing new ground. Imagine if a month ago, just 4 weeks ago, if I had said something like this: what if we had no more toilet paper? Or what if we weren't able to come to church and be together anymore? Or what if the grocery shelves were all empty? What if all of a sudden all the public schools and college campuses were closed, or the NBA, the NHL, the MLB, all of those were canceled? If the soccer fields and gymnasiums and baseball fields would be empty where all of the kids normally practice? Or we weren't able to travel anymore by plane, and that the economy is changing so much, the largest corporations are shutting down and taking time off until we get past a virus. If I had said that just 4 weeks ago, you guys would probably be thinking I was crazy. What if I said you would be in charge of your kids 24/7, that you would have to stay home from work and work from home with your kids there? Imagine what this lady felt when she posted this picture the other day. This all happened to us because someone sold a bat-infested scaly anteater in the Chinese wet market last year. And it's been less than 2 weeks since the panic hit us in March, on March 12th, and this is where we are already. Who would have believed this a month ago? Nobody. Imagine how bad life would be, though, if God were not involved at all. Let's look at some other what-ifs. What if you suddenly found yourself with all the face-to-face time with your kids that you could imagine, with your spouse to be able to be together, not having to get up and go somewhere immediately in the morning? Imagine having more time to pray, time to be with your family, time to play a game with your family, time to maintain your home, to actually change the filters in your air conditioners. No more run, run, run. Imagine family is around the table talking and enjoying dinner more than once every 2 weeks. Suddenly, everything life should be about, it is. Here's a big question. What if the virus is the result of God leaving us alone and God being more involved? Many people want God to just leave us alone, and they pretend that he doesn't exist. They want him to stay far away if he does exist. They don't want him around. Others, like us, we want him to be more involved. Well, what if this situation is God leaving us alone and God being more involved with us? You know, we've been praying for change. We've been praying for life to slow down. We've been praying that families would grow stronger. We've been praying that the invasive sports agenda that's in our community would slow down and somehow allow more room for family and God. We've been praying for these things, but who's done anything to change it? Maybe it's God getting more involved. Without God, man makes a mess, wouldn't you agree? When God gets involved in our mess, good things happen. You're going to be able to look back on this situation and you're going to be able to see that God was in the details. God was taking care of all the details. And he's taking care of the details in your life. He's taking care of the details in your church like you cannot imagine. Right now, I believe that. And you're going to see that God was way more involved than you could ever have imagined. You see, I'm talking to people already that are seeing life-changing situations in their own lives. I'm seeing people who are finding freedom in their lives. Parents finding family time again. Kids who are less stressed. I went over to the Schwantz house the other day, and their two twins were out front, and they were just playing with turtles and frogs. And In fact, I almost ran over a couple of their turtles in the driveway. But it was great to be able to pull up into the driveway and see those two girls out there playing and having fun, no stress, enjoying life, and enjoying a time with their father. I talked to a man the other day that he's finding freedom from his greatest temptation in life. The place that he's tempted to go to is closed, and no longer can he go there. So he's found freedom, and hopefully he's going to be able to keep this life change after he gets back to normal. I'm seeing marriages are finding more time for intimacy and communication. People actually miss coming to church. That's a good thing. It means we're going to appreciate a lot more when this is past. No matter how big man messes things up, we can see God's handiwork bringing greatness through it all. You see, things are changing. We're learning new things. We're trying new things. creativity is going to increase. In fact, us doing this kind of a video is new. I hate being on TV or the thought of being on the internet like this. But new ground is being plowed to allow for change. So let's take a ride. I want you to go with me and I want you to think about and pray about some things that maybe you need to change permanently. Some things that you're seeing that are good in your life right now that maybe you want to keep after we get back to normal. Okay, we are in Angela's van. And that's her music. Aren't you glad to know? So the book of Jeremiah is one of the most passionate books in the Bible. And we're reading this book ourselves with our kids during devotions. Jeremiah was a prophet telling the Israelites what God wanted them to know. God was making big changes in how he was relating to the Israelites. Have you ever had a relationship that you ended? You got tired of feeling like it was all a one-sided relationship, so you stopped calling them. But the funny thing was, they didn't even notice that you stopped calling them. They didn't care at all. Well, that's what God was dealing with the Israelites. The Israelites had moved on. They had found their own false gods and were doing their own thing. They made all these idols up and were worshiping them. They didn't miss God. And here God was over in the temple all the time. He was available to them. He was there. You see, they were creating all kinds of problems for themselves. Isn't that what we do? For many years, though, God had been protecting them from their enemies. They had a beautiful temple, and God himself lived in that temple. He was in a room there. They knew he was there. And they had great wealth and even great health. God had always protected them and always watched over them. Well, things were about to change because all of that was going to get stripped away. God could not call them his people any longer. They had refused him. You see, God was offering a way back into a relationship with him. He was passionately communicating, pleading with them to come back to him, kind of like a husband when his wife is gone or his wife is leaving him for someone else. Well, listen to how personal God made this and how God feels. It's amazing when you read throughout the book of Jeremiah and see the passion of God and how much he loved these people. He said, "Why do my people say good riddance? From now on, we're on our own." He can't understand that. He says, "Young women don't forget their jewelry, do they? Brides don't show up without a veil, without their veils, do they? But my people forget me." He can't understand this. "Day after day after day, they never give me a thought." So God is very frustrated with his people. You can hear the passion in his words here. Here's another quote. He said, "I planned what I'd say if you returned to me." He says, "I would say this. Good. I'll bring you back into the family. I'll give you choice land. Land that the godless nations would die for. And I imagined that you would say this if I brought you back. Oh, dear father. And that you would never again go off and leave me. But no luck. Like a false-hearted woman walking out on her husband, you, the whole family of Israel, have proven false to me." Hear the passion in that? God is hurting in this relationship. But later on, God says, "Even the storks and the doves, they know the time of year that they need to go north and come back south." He says, "But my people, they don't even know the requirements of the Lord. Even the animals know what I require. Even the animals know what's good for them." You see, God was astounded by the human response to him. He knows what happens when people go without him in life, when they refuse his help. When people say, "No, stay away, God, don't want you around," God understands that that is a bad situation for people. And God knew that it was going to be bad for them. Their wives would be turned over to other men who don't even love them. Their fields would be given to new owners that never even worked for them, never plowed them, never cared for those fields. Their children would be sent to another nation, and they were sent to Babylon. They were sent into slavery or into service for that other kingdom. Life was about to change for them in a big way. God was about to leave them. In fact, God was about to divorce them. So much that God actually put it this way. He said,
I thought that after she had done all this, that she would return to me, but she didn't. It's not about Israel. And her unfaithful sister, Judah, saw it. He said, I gave faithless Israel her certificate of divorce and sent her away because of all her adulteries. God divorced Israel. He left her alone. You see, disaster was coming on the Israelites. God was going to leave them alone like they wanted him to, and it was not going to be pretty. But God gave them a path back to him. God always gives a path back to him. He invited them to return to him, but he said this, if you want to come, really come back. Really come back. Then he said two things. Break up your unplowed ground and do not sow among the thorns. And secondly, he said, circumcise yourselves to the Lord, circumcise your hearts. Break up your unplowed ground and sow seed there, not among the thorns. That's what he said to do. He says here, explore new territory. Instead of doing life the way you've always done life, do something new. Instead of looking for comfort the wrong ways, plow new territory, plow new ground, do something new, do something different. Only this time, do the right thing. Do what God wants you to do. Instead of being afraid of the changes that we're facing, coming with our jobs and our finances and whatever changes you're facing during this time of uncertainty, you've got to plow new ground, find new ways to deal with it. Maybe you feel stuck with your health. It's time to plow new ground. Try something new. Try something different. I read about a woman who had been overweight all of her life. To her own admission, she loved junk food. She loved watching TV and just laying around. That's pretty much all she did. She spent all kinds of money at some point on trying to find a diet that worked. Slim Fast, Atkins, juicing, Whole 30, Weight Watchers. She had spent a lot of money trying all of these things. But nothing worked because she was hoping that the magic was in the juice. She was trying to lose weight without doing what it actually took. Well, one day she decided that she was going to plow new ground. Instead of trying to change everything for just 30 or 45 days with some diet that she bought all the food for and all of that, and end up gaining the weight back again, which she had done many times. This time, she said this, I lost 100 pounds one small change at a time. Instead of trying to go straight from soda to water, she went from soda to lemonade, then she went from lemonade to light lemonade, then she went from light lemonade to flavored water, and from that she went to infused water, fruit-infused water, that is. And finally, she ended up with plain water. She was able to go from Coke to plain water, but there was a process. She plowed ground to make that happen. She did the same thing with trying to eat vegetables. She didn't know how to eat vegetables. First, she would hide the vegetables inside her food. We've all done that. Then she started eating like microwave veggies and things that, you know, tasted a little bit good. And she wanted to get to the natural stuff. And finally, she taught herself how to cook natural vegetables, plowing new ground. She learned. She plowed new ground, new territory. In this time of change, it's time to break up your unplowed ground and sow new seed there, not among the thorns. Maybe this time, when life starts getting back to normal, you do things different. Instead of getting back into your hectic life, it's time to do some things different. Instead of letting things get in the way between you and God and your church family, maybe it's time to make some changes. Maybe now is the time to plow new ground. Dig up new territory in your life. Some of you need to break up unplowed spiritual ground. It's uncharted territory for you, I know. But the ground has been hard in your life, and it's time to break it up. Start planting some seeds there. Life-giving seeds so that you can grow and be great. Haven't you noted already that responding to life in the wrong way hasn't gotten you anywhere? It's only made things worse.
So many times we plant seeds in the weeds of life instead of planting them where God says to plant them, in the good soil, in the good things. You see, God said, break up your unplowed ground. Change things. Make things new. Turn the soil in your life. Plant good seed in the soil. Do something different is what he's saying. And then he says this, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts. What is he saying? He's saying, cut away the things in your life that are destroying you and destroying your relationship with God and the people of God. The thing about sin is, you don't need sin. You need sin about as much as the guy stocking up on toilet paper really needed it. Did you know that toilet paper, as we know it, wasn't even invented until 1857? That's almost 6,000 years of human existence without toilet paper. But suddenly it ranks beyond green beans. We think we need sin, but name one that you really need. God says you can cut it out, trim it away from your heart, trim it away from your emotions. You see, if you plant good seed and good soil, if you turn over the hard places in your life and make changes today, your life will be full of hope, peace, and joy, and God. Let new spiritual territory take place and take root in your life. And make some changes for you, for your family, for your vocation. Make some changes that will be better. Let's dig together.